Hey, what's happening? It's the Side Quest Live. It's just me today, and I'm tweeting that out so everybody can know. But how's it going? It's sidequesting.com's weekly journey into video games. I almost said the journey into the, for my Lonely TARDIS podcast, almost a dead intro. A lot of you know that I do that podcast as well. But it's the Side Quest. Side Questing's premier podcast. All of Side Questing's other podcasts are crap. This is the only one you want to listen to. This is the internet's favorite. Okay, whatever. I'm going to shut up. How's it going? I'm Dolly, as you can see by my name. Right there it is. And it's a good time. It's going to be a fun shorter show today. Mostly because everybody's out taking care of stuff, taking care of fam. It's winter. No one likes winter. A lot of folks are still recovering from the holidays and trying to heal up or just get some energy or back to work, which kind of sucks going back into the office and you're tired out from that. Or even work from home, working late. So yeah, figured I'll take this one on. Ooh, I'm knocking stuff over here. I'll take this one on by myself, and we'll go from there. I do have a funny story though. Speaking of working from home offices, excuse me. I was calling into a meeting earlier, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna get my. It was right at lunchtime, and it was like 5 minutes till my meeting starts. So it was technically still my lunch hour. But I heard them dialing in. I had my headphones on. I heard them dialing in, so I run across from my kitchen to the room here, and I got some brand new socks for Christmas. It's like my favorite gift is socks. I don't know why. Socks are awesome. Welcome to, dudes in their 40s. So I got these brand new socks and I haven't washed them yet. So here's a pro tip. Wash those socks because I slid, took a dive, and the whole side of my body here is just in pain. It's like all bruised. Landed on the side of the desk over here. Knocked the laptop over. It was not fun. But I'm here. Yeah, get some, wash those socks first. That's the tip of the day. Oops, shut the camera off for a second there. Anyways, wanted to touch on a couple things. There's not a ton of news. It is the new year. The last time we had, we got together, we went over our GOTY of the year, game of the year, Guardians of the Galaxy. All the other games we were kind of digging out the year. So, and that was because there wasn't anything happening that week and there wasn't anything happening Christmas week. So there's not a lot happening this week, but there's one, one big story. Actually, there's a couple. The first one I'm going to get on your plates right now. And I think everyone's been talking about this. Obviously news broke today. Our good friends over at VentureBeat, Dean Takahashi. Hi Dean. How's it going? And Jeff Grubb's over there, and Aaron does a lot of writing for there too. So it's all good stuff. Broke the news. E3, is it going to happen 2022? It is online, only online. So, yeah, the ESA spoke to VentureBeat and let them know, GamesBeat, and let them know, hey, we're going to be going online only this year because of Omicron. The numbers are kind of skyrocketing, obviously, around the U.S. And so out of, safety reasons, they decided we're going to cancel the in-person E3. Now, E3 takes place in June. Who knows what it's going to look like between now and then? I'm going to change this real quick. Damn. Who knows what the situation is going to look like between now and then, right? We don't know if there's going to be the wave is going to be gone. We don't know if... things are going to get worse or better. But we do know this, that there's not going to be E3 in person. It's always good, out of abundance of caution, plan ahead of time. Last year, they didn't announce it. I think it was the end of February. They finally announced that there wasn't going to be an in-person E3. They were going online only. And then they were scrambling to try to figure out what to do. So that's not cool. You don't have a lot of time to go from physical to... because they were dead set last year on going physical, and then all that stuff happened, or continues to happen, aka the pandemic. And they were not prepared and ended up being an organizational mess for E3. Really not a lot of fun for their website, their back-end website stuff was not handled very well, and it was it's okay to say that it was a mess. It was not ideal, but getting ahead this time and knowing that you're going to be going online fully, maybe that'll help out. I'd love to see E3 really embrace the whole virtual thing, and I hearken back to the old G4 days. You guys remember G4? It's back, by the way. Hi, G4 friends. I like the old G4 days where they had, that's where I watched E3 before I got into the industry. So I'd watch the press conferences on G4 and or Tech TV, whatever it was at the time. And then, you had the day-long shows based on what the reporters were seeing on site. Now, you could do something like that where it's E3 is literally just a schedule of showcases, long Twitch streams that maybe they work with, the big publishers and get a bunch of stuff happening, music, do concerts, do movie premieres, do an online art thing. I think there's actually a lot that E3 can do that can really embrace going to all digital. We've been kind of talking that E3 would eventually go all digital anyways, but I still love it in person because it's a great place to meet people. But I mean, you can still do that online. You could do like what the gig is, the Games Industry Grant Gathering is fantastic. The folks there have been hosting, it used to be weekly, now it's monthly, online gatherings through Discord. And you could still do stuff like that with E3, whether it's, if you're going to have folks look at the newest game products, you could do it through Zoom or whatever. Have a virtual room of press folks that can actually ask questions and talk to developers directly. And I think we had a little bit of that last year, but again, because it all happened so late and it was poorly executed, it just didn't fly. Now, I will say this, our a good friend of the show, FOTS, FOTS, friend of the show, Mike Futter, at Futterish, mentioned that his sources actually noted that E3 made this decision way back in like at least the middle of November. They had canceled their LA convention center plans, and they definitely weren't going to be doing an in-person E3. So it's a little bit of a spin right now to say, it's because of Omicron, but they were actually planning to go virtual way back in November. Again, I think it's a good thing to do it and have all this time to plan, but you got to be transparent about it, and they're not. So I hope, hope whatever happens with E3 this year. We did have some cool products come out last year. There were some stinkers of streaming events, but Xbox rocked it. Square Enix, even though we all kind of crapped on Guardians of the Galaxy, that game ended up being our goatee. And Nintendo obviously did good. And I'd love to see Sony back in the way. I'd love to see E3 extend their hand this year to all these companies. Activision, Sony, everybody who's kind of fallen away from E3, and say, listen, we'll work with you to put on a showcase of your products. We'll let you guys produce it, whatever. We'll let you guys have the time and the place. We'll put it a part of our schedule. This year is, it's about building faith with the developers, with the publishers, with the fans, because E3 has taken has had a bad rap over the last few years, and it's kind of gone, I don't want to say downhill, but it's definitely had its issues, and I think they know that. So this is the year that you'd think that they'd want to kind of put the hand out there and say, we want to help you, we want to do a lot more with you guys, and we're willing to take the losses on our end monetarily or whatever for now to make sure that we're in good standing with you. So who knows? Either way, E3 is going digital this year. Let me know your thoughts. I know a lot of folks were kind of dancing on E3's grave again. I mean, I think almost immediately when that news broke, Jeff Keighley was posting, by the way, Summer Game Fest this summer, which it's a little tacky, to be throwing that out right away. Calm down. Let the dust settle, and then we can go from there. You don't have to jump in, but whatever. E3 going digital. It's interesting news, but I don't think anyone's gonna really miss it, because it's been a stellar year for the gaming industry already, as we've seen all the monsoon of sales. I think Famitsu just reported that our game industry via Famitsu, whatever one they were on, reported that Nintendo sold 5 times as many Switches this year as every other console combined in Japan. 5 times. The PS5 was second with like nearly a million, but Nintendo had like 5.4 million or something like that. So five, that's insane. Nintendo Switch completely owns Japan, and it's because it's you know, they're not competing with, they understand that the gaming world in Japan, at least, is not consoles at home anymore. It's not. It's mobile. It's phones. They're competing against the phone market over there. So they're lucky that they have that IP, that massive IP in Mario and Zelda, and they're pulling in stuff like, you know, Monster Hunter on the Switch is phenomenal for being a single console release. So, yeah, that's super interesting to me, you know, that's taking place. But I will, speaking of Japanese companies, I want to touch on one more Japanese company here that did actually reveal some stuff, some big news. And that is, let's see if this comes up. I know we've been kind of talking about the PlayStation, the PSVR 2. We've been calling it the PSVR 2, even though we don't know what it's actually called. But now we do know what it's actually called. It's actually called the PSVR 2. Sony officially named their new VR headset the PSVR 2. Surprise, I know. There's a couple interesting caveats to this. One, single cord USB-C plugging into the PS5. It's got 4K lenses on both, 4K screens on both sides, which I think is pretty hefty. It's going to be a nice, really nice viewpoint. I think there's a Horizon game being developed specifically for it. So Horizon Forbidden West isn't even going to be the last of the journey. So PSVR 2. Some of the notes, obviously, OLED, as I mentioned, 4K screens, really nice refresh rate, 120 hertz. You can find this all on SideQuest.com, by the way. But external cameras, which I think is the way to go, right? You don't need to have a camera mounted on your, in front of your TV anymore, to play VR games and use the silly, lighted, not super accurate, controllers. Sorry, yawning. Not super accurate controllers. So this will definitely be an improvement with the, you know, the inside out tracking, whatever they call it, where you're tracking with cameras on the headset out in front of you. It's finding your hands, it's finding the controllers, very much like what Oculus and Vive and everybody else is going. So they're definitely in line with that direction. So there you go. It's PSVR 2. There's no release date for it, and they haven't obviously shown the device yet. There they do have some cool new controllers that are starting to kind of get some visual looks, so look more than likely, from what they're saying, you know, it's going to look a lot like the Oculus, the Meta Oculus controllers, but whatever. No release date, but I'm gonna say this year, either end of this year or by March of next year, you're gonna have the PSVR 2 in your hand, on your head, not in your hands, maybe in your hands because of controllers. But you don't give away this much information on a headset this far in advance without the intent that you want to launch it within the next year. And they showcased this at CES. Typically stuff at CES is that year. Like, this is the kind of stuff they want to get out there so they can kind of guide you for what the technology that they're going to be selling you this year. So I could see this end of this year being a launch. Either end of this year or by March, April of 2023. I believe you're going to get your PSVR 2. And Sony has God of War. They have Horizon this year. Gran Turismo, they're kind of front load a little bit. I think God of War is towards, maybe if it comes out this year, towards the end of the year. I think it's a good chunk of focus if you're going to be putting on another piece of hardware. Again, what are you going to be playing it on? Because you can't find the PS5 anywhere. You can now. They're slowly starting to come out now after the holiday. But So That's some of the news. PSVR 2, E3 2022. There are some other little odds and ends, you know, all over the place, but I think those are the two bigger stories that were popping over the last week. Now, I do also want to talk about what I've been playing specifically. I have a couple segments that a new segment that I'm going to debut as well. Let me see if I could see. I would have been smart to find this and get prepared ahead of time, but I didn't. So whatever. First is what we've been playing, and what we've been playing is this. My family's running around the house. I've been playing a game for review called Time Lie. It looks like it's spelled Time Line, kind of is, but it's called Time Lie. And sorry, I'm coughing a lot. I'm drinking. It's called Time Lie. And let me see if I can find the launcher. Oh, there we go. The really cool thing about this game is it was out on PC last year, 2020. And now it is on Switch. Just launched for the Switch. I'm going like this. Bam. 2021. Launched for the Switch. And it's essentially a time-based puzzle game, series of puzzles. And so you guide this character. She can sort of pause time, fast forward, rewind it. And then your goal is to make your way around the paths, as you kind of see there. You make your way around paths and avoid these very robotic, almost Emmy, you know, Metroid Dread Emmy style. Let me pause it real quick. Emmy style enemies. So you can see the little light right there that she's standing in front of. She picks up these lights and it allows you to activate certain things within the level that are separate from the overall flow of time. So in the game, just like my timeline here in YouTube, you get a timeline that runs across on the screen. And I apologize. I was going to play it live on the show while I was talking about it, but I couldn't get the Switch plugged in time on my laptop here. Anyway, so you get a timeline at the bottom. You can hit the play button and things kind of slowly take place and, you know, actions can take place. You can see the little dots there. You click and you can walk across those dots are kind of like the spaces, almost like a board, game. Your goal is to get basically to the exit each time. Now, again, you can collect these little light bursts and they allow you to, this is sort of the hub world. There you go. It's a good place to show it. These little light bursts will allow you to do things like repair broken bridges or unlock certain features. These are the droids, the robots that sort of follow you and try to hunt you down. And if you get caught in their light, then they'll definitely catch you and your game is over. Or you got to reset, kind of rewind, go back to the beginning of the level. So you'll walk across these levels. Different levels have, you know, these keypads, different colored doorways. You got to kind of get through. So you got to manage what your steps are and how much time you have left across timeline at the bottom and then how you're opening certain things up. It's actually a fascinating little game. It's not long. It's only going to last you about, she's using the spell to do that. It's only going to last you about, you know, a couple hours, 2-3 hours at most. I think I plowed through it about 2.5 hours watching TV at the same time. But there you go. So she can, you know, do certain things, lock the enemies in cages and try to escape and make her way out. And it's, again, fun little puzzler. Reminds me a lot of the mobile games from the phone game from I'm just losing my mind right now. Tomb Raider, you guys remember that kind of Tomb Raider? I think there was a Hitman game as well, or a Lara Croft game and a Hitman game, where you're actually kind of making your way around the board and you have to solve puzzles and it's a very specific amount of steps. This is very similar to that, but you can control the flow of time. Again, been on a PC for over a year now. It's out on Switch, just popped out on Switch a couple weeks ago. We got a review code from the publisher. And it's a neat game. Again, only a couple hours takes you to beat it, but I don't want to say I can't recommend it enough, but it's a nice game of great visuals, nice game to just kind of chill back while you're doing something else and play. I will say one thing though, and you couldn't see it in the video there, but after you complete your level and kind of make your way out, it offers you the option to rewatch your steps the whole way. So it's like a little play button at the bottom. It's like, hey, do you want to watch how it plays out all the way across the bottom, you know, or all the way across your solution, which you don't have to. Why rewatch it? Because you have just completed the level. So there really isn't a reason to do that. But whatever. You can skip out of it. That's fine. Anyways, Time Lie, it's on PC, Mac, and it's on Switch. And yeah, it's a fun little game. Not deep by any means. And I think kids can probably solve this thing. So, there's some nice little puzzle-solving elements there. Now, the second game that I wanted to get to that I've been playing, and kind of a newer feature, is something that I was kind of talking about a little bit last year, briefly on Twitter and in the Discord. I think I may have lightly mentioned it on the show with the rest of the fam. But we have a lot of folks we know in the industry, people that send us games all the time. They do PR work. They'll obviously, we don't get stuff from them unless it's a review code like I just had for Timeline. But we do connect with a lot of folks on Twitter, you know, a lot of like indie devs that are just trying to get up and running, a lot of folks that are making movies. And so a lot of folks are making music, all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of really cool creative folks out there. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to start featuring people that we are connected with on side questing, creative folks that, you know, produce cool content that we want to kind of highlight that we're intrigued with, because whether they're past guests or they're just friends of ours, it'd be kind of cool to take a look and show off some of their works. Again, this is not journalism that I'm doing right here. This is just me saying, check out one of our friends of the show. That's what we're calling it, friends of the show. Friends of the show. We follow a lot of people on Twitter. There's a lot of cool content out there, and we want to kind of highlight things specifically from folks that follow us, folks that we follow. First one is by my friend and yours. It better be your friend. Let me get this up and running here. It's a game that I just started playing. Again, I'm so sorry for not starting it up here as I should have. It is a game called Octobug, and it's by Eric Bailey. Let me share the screen. Here it is. All right, I found a video that you guys can watch while I set everything else up. Octobug is so Eric's been, he's a really cool guy on Twitter to follow. Follow him at Eric Bailey. He's done a lot of writing and he's getting into some game dev stuff. And he's thought, let me try to create a fun little puzzler with this four-legged, can you guys see that? I think you guys see it. This four-legged spider thing. And it goes across levels. And it's kind of cool because you don't need to be a pro at this game, but it has some really nice little touches along the way. I mean, it's not like Call of Duty level visuals or anything. Eric was really trying to figure stuff out. I like how he pumps his fist when he clears the level. It's very short, and he has it up on itch.io. But let me see if I can get this sucker running here. Ha! Of course I knocked myself out. Anyways, as I was saying, cut that out. Let me get it loaded up here. It's a fun little puzzler because it's very short. You can probably knock the thing out pretty quickly, but it's got a kind of weirdly endearing little story to it. Let me see if I can turn off the audio. Maybe I can't. Sound. Hold on here. Or maybe I can't. Anyways, I'm gonna share the screen here, and you guys can see what I'm playing here. Is Octobug? Hopefully, there's no audio. Sorry if there is. Octobug. Yeah. So now, Eric and I were kind of messing around and talking because I was pretty horrible at this game. There's a jump that you guys will see in a second here that I did not handle very well. Anyways, very simple. Chapter one, our story begins. There was a spider named Webster who lived in a land with many flies. I find it awesome that people are getting into game development. Again, you can just walk into these guys and kill them. You don't die from killing enemies. It's a little mantis. It's really cool that people are stretching their creative muscles by developing games. And so I think it's fun to play some of the stuff because I'm doing my own little game here on the kind of off times that, sorry, I'm trying to pay attention and play. In the off times after work, in between podcast episodes, in between family stuff, a little bit of game dev, I'll probably share that at some point. But so this is where I would fall right there. And this little jump that you go across there, I was continually dying. I can remember how to do it. But anyways, Eric's been messing around, trying to learn how to game dev or trying to learn how to develop some games and then flexing his muscles. Oh, look at that. See that? I didn't know I could do that. Flexing his game dev muscles, his creativity, and he's really fun to follow on Twitter and stuff because of that. But through this game dev stuff, you learn a lot of aspects of your, not only your creative mind, but also a lot of aspects of problem solving, coming up with other things. So I'm sure this will translate to an award. Oh, I forgot to hit the jump button. But again, I'm really bad at this. It's very simple. Friend of the show, Eric Bailey. Follow him. And I almost had it. Anyways, I'm going to shut that down because it's loud in my ear, even though you guys can't hear it. That's it. That is today's episode of The Side Quest. I knocked out 20, 25, 26 minutes of it. That's pretty good. Thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm having some beverages as I'm about to go watch Only Murders in the Building. We're going to try to finish it up in the next day or so. Great show. Highly recommended by a lot of friends. One of our friends, Hot Girls Video 69, who you might want to follow. Very cool folks there. A lot of good leaks, but was recommending it to me. Like, you've got to watch this. And I did, and there's some awesome stuff. So anyways, that's it. Again, friend of the show, at Eric Bailey. Check him out. He's got some really cool stuff. I'll post his itch.io page in the YouTube and on the site, sidequesting.com. I'll link it on here. Follow him. We'll have somebody else in the next week or so here as well. We're going to try to get some friends of the show, people who are in the game dev or some creative outlet, to hop on the show and be a guest as well, if we're not just kind of showing off their wares. But always good to support people when we can. SideQuesting.com, SideQuesting TV on YouTube and Twitch. Feel free to leave comments. Hit me up. Tell me how wrong I am about whatever. So I'm already getting some cool spam comments. So like that. Thank you. Thank you, YouTube spammers. Love you guys. We'll see you in the next episode of...
Day now disappears.